Lord, I pray that you will help us this evening to turn to you, to love you, to trust you. God, to let you make a difference in our lives so that you can make a difference through our lives. God, I do pray for those who are not able to be with us this evening. Pray that you will strengthen them, encourage them. But God, for each of us who are here, I pray that you would make a difference tonight through your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I mentioned to the kids that we'll be beginning the book of Colossians tonight. Man, we've got a lot of new studies going on here at church, it seems like. A lot of our studies ended around the same time, or then we had Christmas and New Year's and all sorts of stuff. So our new Wednesday evening study is the book of Genesis. Our new Sunday evening study is the book of Colossians. And fairly recently, and we'll get back, I'm excited about getting back into it, but that is 1 Corinthians on Sunday morning. Some of you say, man, it's been a long time since we've looked at 1 Corinthians. It has, with Christmas and all of that. I'm excited to get back into 1 Corinthians. But we have a new Sunday school class that we started for teens and adults. And what is that, Alexia? You nodded your head. Baptist distinctives. Why are we called Jeruel what? Baptist Church. Why not just some fellowship? We are a fellowship of believers. We do fellowship with each other. Why are we not just agape fellowship? Some churches call themselves agape fellowship. Why aren't we just koine? There are churches who call themselves that. Why don't we just say, we're Jeruel? We're Jeruel Church. Well, we're talking about that and some important reasons why we are a Baptist church. Not just because we don't want to pay to have our sign changed and to change all the other things that have Jeruel Baptist Church on it, but the reality of what it means to be a Baptist. And so I trust that if you're able to come out to that, it'd be a great study. But on Sunday evenings, I wanted us to get into another book as we think about walking for God, redeeming the time in daily life. And tonight we're going to look in Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and see the reality that you and I are to live for God's best in our lives. Not just aiming for that this year, but really aiming for that today and tomorrow and every day. That you and I are to live for God's best. God desires for others to grow. God desires for me to grow. God desires for my leaders to grow. So am I going to be faithful with the responsibilities to grow and live for God's best in my life? How many of you are thankful that you're going to go home and eat a snack? Okay, man, I am too. Man, I'm excited. I don't even know what it is, but like, I'm just excited about food tonight. And man, snacks are good. You and I should be just as excited when we have opportunities to eat up God's word. Now, not literally, I understand that. But we see throughout the Bible where different prophets have said that God's word is sweeter than honey or sweeter than a roll. And man, I couldn't contain it. And the reality of we should love God's word enough that I'm going to take time in it so that I can live for God's best in my life. You know, if I aimed for my best in life, I might hit it. But it might not be accomplishing God's purpose. We talked about that this morning. God has a purpose for each of our lives. And man, I want to hit God's purpose for my life. I don't want to hit my purpose for my life. I remember in Bible college, we had a teacher, and he traveled with, I think it was Life Action Ministries for a number of years. Pastor Bob, you're probably familiar with that group. And we had a number up at college who traveled with them, and then they left that group and went to Northland and parked out for a number of years and invested in our lives. And one of these guys, Marty Vaughn was his name, and he enjoyed working with the counseling ministry and training some practical biblical truths from God's Word. But what he enjoyed as a kid was sports. Like, sports is fun, right? Now, he enjoyed baseball. He was to the point, though, where he could have become, I believe it was, even a major league pitcher. So you know he had a pitching arm, and he could throw. And there were times that they would use that in some of their evangelistic meetings, and they'd have teen rallies. And the one guy who, I believe it was the one who became our president at college, Dr. Ola, would stand in the back with a pitcher's mitt on. And this is auditorium, okay? So they're standing here, teens on all sides, and he's getting ready to pitch major league speed baseball back to the back. Now, you wouldn't want to be where Ken and Claire are probably, right? But especially if I'm right-handed. But the reality is he set that aside because he didn't want to live for his best. He wanted to live for God's best. And I'm telling you, countless people that he invested in and that his life has touched because he said, I'm not going to do baseball. I'm going to do what God has. Now, does God have some people do sports for him? I believe so. I do believe so. But you and I have to make sure that it's what God wants for our life. I want to live God's best for my life. Because if not, I won't what? Redeem the time. And I need to live what God has for me. And so the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. And here he tells them, you can live for God's best in your life. Because Paul learned that he lived for God's best in his life. Paul could have lived for himself, and in fact, he was high in leadership, if you will, in the Jewish religion. I believe we looked at a passage with that this morning. And yet the reality is he set that aside, counted it all dung, because he knew he needed to get saved. That wasn't worth it. He wanted to live God's purpose for his life. Now, as we study the book of Colossians, we will make it to Colossians chapter 4, verse number what? 5, which is our theme verse, yes, for this month, but really for throughout the year. And as we go into this, I want us to remember that you and I, no matter the situation, no matter what's going on, we must focus on God's best for our life. I must focus on God's best for my life, not just on what I think is good, but what God has best for my life. Let's read together Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our what? Brother. So far we see two different relationships. Verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In these two verses, we see some spiritual authority. Number one, I must listen to the one with authority. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing a message to the local what? Church, not just to some saved people, but he's writing to the local church. There's a point that we have, a reason we have membership. We talked a little bit about that, and we'll get into that in our Baptist Distinctive Sunday School class, saved church membership. There's a reason we come together, not just loosely and show up, but we want to join and be members of the local body. Paul is writing to the local church, and he has authority. And he's telling them, listen to the one with authority. Now, kids, you already told us tonight, who are some of those with authority in our lives? Parents? Jaden? Pastor? Who else in the church has authority in our life? Teachers. So, I mean, we've got parents and pastors and teachers, and there are so many others just in our own local church that have leadership. That, kids, do you have to listen to them? Yes, you do. Adults? Do we have to listen to them? We do. How many of you don't always enjoy listening to leadership? I don't. Man, it's not always an easy thing to do. But the reality is God says you must listen to the one with authority. And here, who's the one speaking, who's writing this letter? It is Paul. And so he's saying, listen to the one with authority. I have authority. I'm not just making this up. And I'm not trying to just usurp authority and say, you listen to me because I'm Paul. He says, I have authority from God. And so listen to me. Because as he challenges them in other places, follow me as I follow Christ. He's following his authority. And we'll get to the ultimate authority. But listen to the one with authority. Each believer has their own role when it comes to authority. And we looked at different roles here already. We have Paul, who is called the what? Apostle. And we'll talk about that in a minute, kids. I know that's a big term. But Paul, who's called an apostle. And then we had another guy who was mentioned. His name is what? Timothy. And he is the what? He's the brother. Okay, and then we have the next verse. Verse 2 says, to the saints. Those who are saved. Not just dead people who the church said are saints. Those who are saved. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you are a what? Saint. You don't have to wait for the church someday to make you a saint. As sometimes the Catholic Church will do that too. But the reality is, you and I are saints if we're saved. He says, to the saints and faithful brethren. So we see some different roles and relationships here. In this, Paul, an apostle, and I want to focus a little bit on this word apostle. When we hear the word apostle, we can think of all sorts of different things. Maybe it's how many apostles do you think of? 12. We think of the 12 apostles. And so it goes through the reality, hey, there's 12 apostles. And sometimes it's easy. I remember as a kid doing this, and maybe you've struggled with this before. We mix up the apostles and the 12 disciples. Now, some of those 12 disciples were those apostles as well. But we're going to talk about the reality of that and some of the differences of that. But apostle, there are other things that you might think of when you hear apostle. You might think of a religious body today, a religious organization that has apostles in it. Any of you ever heard someone called an apostle today? There are people who are called apostles today. In fact, there's the Apostolic Church, believes that there are apostles today. And man, there are others that they set people up as their apostles. Well, I'm not your apostle. I'm simply your what? Pastor. And that doesn't mean it's any worse than an apostle. There were only certain apostles. There were criteria for apostles. And by the way, I find it very interesting. Did it make them any worse than Paul because they weren't an apostle? Did it make Timothy any worse than Paul because he wasn't an apostle? No, there's each has a unique and individual role that we must play before God. If I'm going to live who's best for my life? God's best. I have to take that role and I have to love it and enjoy it and embrace it. Each believer has his own role. So really, the word apostle means a messenger sent on a mission. A messenger sent on a mission. Kids, remember the picture we had up here earlier? What was that picture? The military picture. So Ashton, go ahead and throw that back up there if you would. We've got the military picture here. And as we look at the military guy, the one has authority. And the rest of them are what? Listening. Now they are getting ready to be sent on a what? Mission. Now they aren't apostles, but they have responsibilities. And who's giving them? The one who's in authority. And you and I have to listen to the one who's in authority. Thanks, Ashton. Listening to the one who has authority. Paul was an apostle, one who was sent on a mission. Who was Paul sent on a mission from? Who sent him on that mission? God did. Remember on the road to Damascus even, when the apostle Paul, at that point, he was simply, what was his name at that point? Saul, that's right. He was Saul. He was blinded and he couldn't see. And God was trying to get his attention. In fact, Jesus said, "Why are you kicking against the pricks?" The pricks. You know, what are pricks? It's interesting to think through some of that. I remember we had taken some teens to a science museum, I believe it was, in Milwaukee. And there were all sorts of sweet things there that we could do and we did with the teens. One of the things that stuck out in my mind was we got to lay on a bed of nails. Now, you've seen people do that, and they're laying down, and the only thing they're laying on is what? Nails. We got to do that. Now, you can't just kind of plop down on a bed of nails and just throw yourself back like you would on your bed, right? That would hurt. In fact, do you know how we did it? What we did is we laid on this hard plastic thing that had like 1,000 holes in it. And as we were laying there very still, you know what they did? They pressed this button. And it made all of the nails come up at the exact same speed. And it raised us off the plastic, oh, probably 1.5 or 2 inches. And we were laying on a bed of nails. Now, if they said, "Don't get up," why do you think they said, "Don't get up"? Because all of our weight would be shifted from all of those individual nails to just a few, and what would happen? We would be kicking against the pricks. and it would get us. Now, Paul, he wasn't laying on a bed of nails, but what was he doing as Saul? He was kicking against the pricks. He was going against what God had for his life, and God's saying, don't. Don't, kind of like maybe you think of the goat, my mind just went blank of what they are, those long electrical rods you give your little pigs or a goat or whatever, a little shock. Some of you guys remember those. The prod, there we go. That kind of an idea. And so Paul, he's getting ready to be sent on a mission. He was sent by Christ because he wasn't going to kick against those pricks anymore. He wanted to live God's best for his life. And that's what Paul's saying to this church at Colossae. I want you to live God's best for your life. I don't want you to live my best for your life. In fact, Paul had a huge impact on what young man in verse 1? Timothy. But did you know Paul didn't want Timothy to do what Paul wanted? Paul wanted Timothy to do what who wanted? God wanted. And man, as much as I love you and I want to see you prosper in your life, I don't want you to do anything I want you to do. I want you to only do what who wants you to do? God. Both here at church and outside of church. Kids and teens, God has a great plan for your life. Don't do just what your parents want you to do unless they want you to do what God wants you to do. I remember my dad telling me that as a teenager. Man, he'd love to see me as a pastor, but he said, I don't want you to be a pastor if that's not what God has for you to do. Whatever it is, do what God's best for your life is. And Paul's saying that to this church at Colossae. Listen to the one with authority. I'm an apostle only because that's God's best for my life. He's called me to be an apostle, a messenger sent on a mission. Well, how do we get to choose apostles? We just get to draw straws? Well, kind of, in one sense, they did that, didn't they? When somebody killed himself. Who killed himself? One of the 12 disciples. His name was what, Sarah? You remember? Judas. He killed himself. He went and he took his own life. Sadly, Judas probably wasn't saved. He didn't trust in the Messiah. We don't see any evidence of that from Scripture. But the reality is, they said, well, we need to replace him. What do we do? Let's turn back to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, we see some of this process and what they're about to do. I mean, John, there. I keep going past it. Here we go. Acts 1. Acts 1. Let's begin at verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Okay, they're in the upper room. They're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come upon them, which we call the day of Pentecost. They're waiting, for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. Jesus said to wait. And he said, well, all power will be given unto you. And so here Peter's standing up. There's about 120 there. Okay, so think of maybe our average Sunday morning service, something like that, 120. That's a neat, I mean, there's a lot of people up in that upper room. And they're gathered there. Verse 16, Peter says, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Now that's kind of graphic, but if you know the story, what happened to Judas? How did he take his life? He hung himself. Sad situation. Sadly, some people still do that today. I mean, life is what? Precious. I don't have any authority to take my own life. I have to listen to the one with authority. God's word tells me about that. But Judas, he sadly took his own life. And Peter standing up and says, here, we know what happened. He denied Christ. He led them. He was part of our ministry, but he wasn't of us. Verse 19. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Exceldama. That is to say, the field of what? Blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Now, many times when we hear the word bishop, we think of a certain ecclesiastical organization or church organization, and that often we think of what? Catholics. I mean, bishop. This is the first thing. I'm not your bishop. And yet, biblically, am I a bishop? Yes, I am. But we don't call me that. That's just one of the titles, if you will, one of the roles as a pastor, the bishop, the overseer. Well, here they're saying, let another one take his bishopric, his place. Verse 21, wherefore, of these men which have companied with us in all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry, and what? Apostleship. From which Judas, by transgression, fell, that he might go to his own place. Where was his own place? Hell, likely, as much as we know. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias. And he was numbered with the 11, what? Apostles. Now, when we think about the apostles, we don't name Matthias. We name, yes, the 11, and then we often say who? Paul. Now, remember what they said. They said, they gave some specific instructions or requirements. Now, we just voted on deacons and other officers in our church, and there are certain what? Requirements that, not that we just set up, but that whose word sets up? God's word. Remember the first letter of Baptist, the distinctives, B stands for what? Biblical authority. We go back to the word of God. And so here we see some authority for those who were to be an apostle. Number one, an apostle followed Jesus during his entire earthly ministry from his baptism by who? According to verse 21, John. His baptism by John, actually verse 22, the beginning part of that, to his ascension into heaven. We read that here in this passage. Number two, an apostle saw Jesus after his what? Resurrection. Look at, again, verse 22. Beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was what? Taken up from us. Not just killed and came back alive, but taken back up. So that he had seen the risen Christ. And then an apostle was appointed by the Lord Jesus himself. What did they ask in verse 24? And they prayed and said, Thou who? Lord. So we see three main distinctions or three main requirements that they said, hey, these are the ones. And it's got to be someone who God's chosen. We don't just want to appoint someone to this place. Again, we see that today with apostles, churches that believe there are apostles today. The Bible makes it clear that there aren't apostles of today. There were 12 apostles. And we look through that. But here we see some requirements. Now we'll get to what about Paul in just a couple minutes. But we see these requirements about an apostle. And so we had them. Now who is leading this meeting, if you will? Remember who's leading this? We read this up earlier in verse 15. Peter is. So Peter is leading this meeting. And yet they're asking the Lord's will. The same thing that we attempted to do as we posted who is, these are the nominations for deacon. Don't just vote. We want you to vote who you believe God has to be voted for. And that's how we want to live life. Well, here's this whole idea of apostleship. And yet then we come to Paul. Now, during Jesus' earthly life, was Paul alive? Yes. Yeah. He was. As much as we can tell with him and his age and everything we know, man, he had to be alive. Because what did he do? He persecuted the followers of, sometimes it was called, the way. We know he was involved with that, even with Stephen's life. Now, Stephen, if you remember from Acts 5, we'll see this in a few chapters. We won't get to it tonight, but if you look ahead in Acts, you see this. You see Stephen. Or Acts 8, I think it is, where he gets stoned or martyred for his faith. Who was Stephen? He was one of the first deacons. Some people say one of the first deacons of the church. Now, all of our deacons are out. They missed it. I guess they don't have to get stoned to death, right? But aren't you thankful that, at least right now, God hasn't called any of us to that? But are we willing to serve even to that point? Stephen, he wasn't an apostle. He was a deacon. Ah, he's just a deacon. No, that's not any less. Oh, they're just a church member. No, that's not any less. And Paul's talking about that to this church at Colossae. We each have our role. But here's, again, the apostle. Back to Colossians chapter 1. And that very first phrase says, Paul what? An apostle of who? And then what's that next phrase? By the will of God. Okay, so we looked at three different requirements for apostleship. The third one was that it was an apostle was appointed by the Lord Jesus. Do we see that, even him claiming that here? Was he appointed by Jesus Christ? Yeah. In fact, we could look back and, again, we pointed out his conversion story of how he trusted Christ on that road to Damascus and then how one came to him and helped to teach him. And then, of course, we can look at others who were involved in his life and training in the early Christian life of Paul. We know that who did Paul see on that road to Damascus? Who is that? Jesus Christ. So was this the risen Savior? Yeah, this was after he died and he came back to life. So he'd seen him. And yet, we also know that Paul, he didn't serve Christ. Probably was very aware of him, because remember, who was Paul part of? Which religious organization was Paul part of before he got saved? Judaism. He was a leader in Judaism, not just some guy out there. And remember how many people in Judaism said, we've got to get rid of Christ. We got to get rid of this Jesus. I'm convinced that Paul knew about him as Saul, the man and the leader in Judaism. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, if you will. Now, guess what? We're going to get to this eventually on Sunday mornings too, aren't we? But I wanted us to look at this when we're looking at this idea of apostle. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Again, as you're there, I want to read and remind us of a couple months ago when we started 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an what? Apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. There we go again. He's claiming this stuff. He's written this under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So chapter 9, verse 1, where you are. Chapter 9, verse number 1. Paul says, am not I what? An apostle. He's, again, remember, the church at Corinth, if you remember as we started this study, they had some struggles with his what? Authority. And so here he's saying again at this point, am not I an apostle? Then the next phrase, am I not free? Have I not seen who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. So he's talking about being an apostle. There was a unique calling of God on his life. The specialness of that. Turn to chapter 15, verse 8. Chapter 15, verse 8. Actually, let's go up a little bit. This is incredible because it kind of goes back to this whole idea of what we're talking about. In verse 1, if you're familiar with chapter 15, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the what? Gospel. And what is the gospel? That Christ died, was buried, and rose again for our sins. That's the good news of salvation. He says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. The only way you can get saved is through the gospel. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also, what? Received. He didn't make this up. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the, what? Scriptures. Again, Scriptures has been fulfilled. Prophecy. Verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas. Who's Cephas? Peter. Okay. So he was seen of Peter. He was seen of Cephas. Then of the 12. And then look at this. It goes on. After that, he was seen of above how many? 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep. Now, what does that mean? How many of you feel like sleeping right now? Maybe you are sleeping, right? And the reality is, this is not what they're talking about, going to bed for the night or taking a nice little nap. This word, fallen asleep, or this phrase, fallen asleep, means what? They're dead. They've passed away. But he says the greater part are what? Present. They're still alive. He said, man, you take this to a court of law. When you're going to a court and you've got five witnesses, eyewitnesses that said someone has taken someone else's life, does that pretty much prove the case? Now, how many witnesses do we have? Over how many? Over 500. I mean, that kind of seals the case, doesn't it? Like, okay, I can't compete with that. And the reality is, man, that is it. Paul says, so there have been so many who have seen him. So verse 6 again, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of who? Me also, of Paul. He said, I've seen him as one what? born out of due time. For I am the least of the what? Apostles. That am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10. But by the grace of God, I what? Am what I am. I'm only who I am, and the role that I play is only because of God's grace in my life. And isn't that true in your life too? Paul said, this is it. Guys, listen up. He said, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So he goes on and talks about, again, I've preached the gospel and I'm proclaiming to you. And man, I'm serving because, man, I don't deserve God's love or the role, the position that God has given me. None of us do we? Life is precious, but if I'm going to redeem the time, I need to live life according to whose plan? God's plan. And sometimes we look at people's lives and say, how did they get to do that? Whoa, why did God entrust them with that incredible thing and not me? I'm more spiritual than they are anyway. Maybe you've never thought that about someone, but maybe you've seen people who have thought that about people. Or why are they there and nobody knows them? Look how powerful God's using them in that area. And here it seems like only 500 people know them. Because each of us has a specific role that we play in whose plan? God's plan. Paul says to this church, I'm an apostle, not by my choice. God has called me. And it's by God's grace I am what I am. So back to the book of Colossians, he says, listen to your authority. Listen to those who are leaders in your life. And I'm one that God has chosen to use. So you got to listen to me. And that's what he's telling them. You got to listen. And yet, they already had listened. They'd heard what he'd said. He's preached in the past. He's ministered to these churches in the past, multitudes of them, on his missionary journeys. So as we think about the roles, each believer has his own role when we listen to authority. We have our leaders. And then we have our brothers. Timothy was a brother. It says here, by the will of God and Timotheus, our brother. Man, as siblings, maybe you're thankful for your siblings. Hopefully you're thankful for your siblings. And you see the reality of how God has used your siblings in your life and to help make you who you are today. Maybe it's all those negative things that you had to work through, and so you're thankful for that. Or, man, maybe it was the blessing of all the positive things that they encouraged and had that influence on your life. So many different ways siblings have blessings. Now, Timothy was not a sibling. He was called a brother. Why? Why was he called a brother? Christ. I'm so glad I'm a part of the what? Family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. That's what makes us a family. That's why as a church family, we are a family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Man, I remember as a kid, I was in public school in 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. And I think it was 5th grade. There were actually a few Christians that I was able to find. And we were in rural Iowa. And one of the guys was a friend of mine. He went to our church. And it's been neat to follow up and catch up again with him after being separated for a number of years and see how God's working in his life. But some of the others that we knew, they went to other churches. But man, they were saved. And so we were excited. We would eat lunch together and do some of those things together. And I remember telling our lunchroom, whatever they call that person in the lunchroom in elementary, the person in charge just trying to keep order. We remember talking to them and telling them, hey, she's my sister. And they just kind of look like, what are you talking about? You guys aren't related. Now, we weren't related by blood, but we were related because of Christ. And this is the relationship Paul's talking about, Timothy. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, because we've been adopted from the devil's family into whose family? God's family. 1 John, we talked about that. And so the reality is Timothy is our brother. And yet, Timothy played an important role even in their spiritual growth. Yes, Paul had authority. Timothy even got to a point of having authority in different lives. Paul wrote to Timothy. We know those letters. We call those letters what? 1st and 2nd Timothy. And he's writing to Timothy, a young pastor. But here he's talking about Timothy. Hey, Timothy's with me. So as the spiritual growth, as we have authority in the different roles, we've got spiritual leaders. We have brothers and sisters who want to help us what? Grow and live God's best for our life. So when one of you goes up to another one of you and says, hey, I love you. I want to help and pray and encourage and, man, I want to warn you. Is that bad? No, that's what Timothy is involved with in other lives. Here's this brother. In fact, then they go on and says, to the saints and faithful what? Brethren. Does God use us in each other's lives? Yes. Is it by our own choice? Only when we're faithful. Because I'm faithful to God. God wants to use you in each of our lives. Not just me as your pastor. Does God want to use me as pastor here? Yeah, he does. But does God want to use you just as much as he wants to use me? Of course he does. And man, I can't do everything. I can't meet everybody's needs. But who does God want to use? You. There's the role when we see about living God's best for life. There is a spiritual leadership. There are those brothers and sisters, the brethren, the faithful brethren. But then we see also the church family. It says to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at what? Colossae. Remember, we've called ourselves the church of God at Munith, right? I mean, that's really what we are. And so here we see the reality that yes, there's the spiritual leader. Yes, there's the brothers and sisters. But yes, we all have a responsibility to grow. Though we are those part of those saints and faithful brethren together. And I want to be faithful. Don't you? And in order for me to be faithful, sometimes it takes who? You to challenge me. That's what brothers and sisters are for. To help us live God's best for our life. Man, maybe you look at people's lives and you see how you've challenged them in the past and some have grown and some have walked away. But we have to be what? Faithful. And you and I are accountable to God. When we are to listen to the one with authority, he makes a difference in our lives. God does. Now here we're talking about human authority, right? We're talking about human leaders, human brothers and sisters in Christ, the human local church. But as I listen to the one with authority, I've got to remember, again, living God's calling on my life, where I am, and the role I serve. Which role do you serve at Jeruel Baptist Church? That's what God's called you to. Or maybe he's called you to it and you aren't doing it. Let's live faithfully the role God has called us to be in the church. As brothers and sisters, as faithful brethren in the church. Maybe even to the point of certain leadership roles that God wants to use you in at Jeruel Baptist Church. So we need to listen to the one with authority. But ultimately, I need to live faithful because of the one with ultimate authority. I need to live faithful because of the one with ultimate authority. Who has ultimate authority? God. Paul says this is not about me. In fact, I don't want you to live faithful because of me. I want you to live faithful because of the one with ultimate authority. Remember, he points all of this back to Christ. He says, Paul, an apostle of who? Jesus Christ. By the will of God. And Timotheus, our brother. To the saints and faithful brethren in who? Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from who? God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, doesn't he talk about God a lot in those two verses? I need to live faithful because of the one with ultimate authority in my life. And that is Christ. As I preach to you, my burden isn't that you listen to me. My burden is that you listen to Christ. And that you follow his best plan for your life. No matter what stage you are in. Whether you're a kid or a teen. Whether you're a young adult or an older adult or an even older adult or whichever category you find yourself in, that you live God's best for your life. And in order to do that, I've got to live faithful because of the one with ultimate authority. We talked about it in our Baptist Distinctives class this morning a little bit. But we don't want to just say we're Baptist because that's the sign on the church we attend. Or that's what pastor says he is, so I must be a Baptist too. Now, I believe there are people in many churches who only are there or only believe what they believe because pastor says so. I've seen so many churches change church names. And again, we could change our church name to whatever, whatever. But what has to be in there? I believe Baptist needs to be in there. We are Baptist for a reason. Now, I have no plans to change our church name. But I'm just saying, we could change our church name, but I believe Baptist is important. But we've seen so many churches in current history take Baptist out of their name and change it to some Agape Fellowship or whatever. Or just Calvary Church. It was Calvary Baptist, but we don't want to offend people with Baptist. I don't want to offend people either. I need to love them like Christ loves. But it means something. Now, the reality is I must live faithful, not because pastor says he's Baptist or pastor says that's going to offend people. So, yeah, that's why we're going to take it out of our name. If I ever said something like that, would you stand up to me? Good, at least one of you would. Yeah, I hope so. Because who am I accountable to? God. We all are accountable to God. And I am not some dictator here. Please don't ever think that. Because we must come before God. See, Paul says, I want to live faithful, and I want you to live faithful, not because of my authority, but because the one with ultimate authority, and that is Jesus Christ. Live faithful. Strive to live the life of a faithful saint. Strive. Again, we talked about that, kids, didn't we? It's not fighting back and forth, but it's working hard. We're going to snow camp, I hope, snow camp, this weekend. And the tubing hill. Now, if there's no snow, they sadly won't have the tubing hill going. But they have a tow rope that pulls you up the hill. And man, that can be nice. And that can also be problematic, depending on if it's working right or not. But man, can you imagine being drug up in a pile of mud with a tow rope and an inner tube under you? Man, you are fighting that mud hard, and that tow rope is fighting that hard. You and I want to fight hard against the mud of the world so that we can strive to be faithful brethren and strive to be the saints who are living for God. Now, we don't have to work hard to be a saint. If you're saved, you are a what? Saint. But I need to strive to live the life of a faithful saint, of a faithful brethren and brother. This is what who expects? God. Did Paul expect this? He did. But why did he expect it? Because there was one with ultimate authority that expected it. Do I expect you to fight to live godly lives tomorrow? Why? Is it because I think you should? Well, yeah, but that's not the ultimate reason. What's the ultimate reason? Because we have an ultimate authority, and that's God. And we must fight, I must fight every day against my flesh and the sin. And I need to strive to live the life of a faithful saint. I need to strive for continued spiritual growth. I need to strive for continued spiritual growth. Again, back to verse 2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wanted this church to grow spiritually. He writes a letter to them. And he says, You've been given peace, grace, for what purpose? To live faithful, to grow. You and I won't ever redeem the time if we don't strive to grow in our spiritual lives. It's hard work. How many of you agree with me? It is hard to grow spiritually. Now, it should be easy, but man, the devil doesn't want us to do it. In order to grow spiritually, I have to read the Bible. Remember we talked about eating earlier? Man, I'm looking forward to my snack tonight. Maybe your tummy's already rumbling. I don't know. But man, I'm excited about that. But do I get that excited about reading God's Word so I can grow spiritually? Or, oh, I didn't get time today. Man, I missed 5 days. Tomorrow's Sunday. We'll be good. Now, God's Word, I need it every day. And I need to strive for spiritual growth. Do you think I have to strive for spiritual growth? I sure do. Do you think I have to strive any less than you have to? No. We all have to strive the same. How about Paul? Man, he was an apostle of God. Did he have to strive for spiritual growth? Yeah, because he was human too. As much as he was a godly leader, he was still a sinner. In fact, he called himself the chief of sinners. Paul's writing to this church at Colossae and says, will you listen to the one with authority, your human leaders, but will you listen and live for the one with ultimate authority? Don't do what you do because, oh, that's what Jerul does. That's what we do at our church. Oh, we don't do that. No, I don't do it because God says, or I do that because that's what God expects of me. You and I need to live God's best for our life. And as I do that, I will redeem the time this week. Not just next year, but tomorrow. I can redeem the next 24 hours. And before I go to bed tomorrow night, I can look back and say, wow, God, thanks for letting me redeem the time. Because I am living for you. So let's live for him this week. Father, we thank you for your love. God, I pray that you would help us to live your best for our lives, that you would make that difference in our lives. God, we don't want to just live for us. God, I don't want to live for myself. God, I don't want our church family to live for me. But as a church family, we long to grow and be the faithful brethren to you, listening to the authority that you've put in our lives, learning, growing. Would you help us? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, maybe you're here and you say, Pastor Josh, I know I'm saved, but may God has challenged me with authority in my life. Maybe it's some spiritual authority at church. Maybe it's spiritual authority at home. God has challenged me, and I just need to yield to him. Would you pray for me, Pastor Josh? God's challenged me tonight. Amen. 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 Would you let God work? Would you yield that to him? Let's strive. Amen. Let's strive to be the faithful brethren at the Church of God at Munith as you and I live life for him. Not just next week or throughout next year, but in the next 24 hours. That we would strive to live for him. Father, I thank you for your love. God, you've seen these hands specifically that represent the hearts that you've touched in a specific way tonight. God, I pray you'd help them in whatever area it is of authority you've challenged them. God, help them as they yield that to you, that you would make that difference. Help each of us, God, to live with you as the ultimate authority for our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and turn in our hymnals to 317. We looked at this psalm this morning, Psalm 139, as we wrapped up that psalm. And God wants to search our hearts so that this week we'll live for him. Let's stand as we sing 317. Search me, O God, prayerfully.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free.
Let's let God